the revolution today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This takes us to the final four segments of our episode with David Halperin. And our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and we're exploring, of course, the meaning or possible meaning behind UFO abductions. So let's continue. You started an answer. I had to interrupt you. I'd like you to continue it.
Yeah, that I think there's the historical question of what gives rise to these memories or pseudo-memories. And then there is a therapeutic question of, given that you've got people who are in pain, although it seems for the most part functional, given that they're in some pain, how best do you ease their pain, increase their functionality? And the two answers may not be the same. It may be more useful for them to believe that they've been abducted by extraterrestrial beings, but that does not make that the correct answer to the historical scientific question. Am I making sense there?
Right. In other words, in some cases, the screen memory may be healthier for the individual than having to go through the shock and trauma of reliving the real thing, is what you're kind of referring to, correct?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I don't know just how you deal, what is the best way of dealing with traumatized people?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And that's why, again, going back to Gene's comment that, you know, we really do need to bring the powers of modern psychology and maybe psychiatry into this whole abduction field, because there's too many people playing with dynamite out there when they're using hypnotic regression to bring troubled people back into a place of reliving certain very traumatic events, whether they be real or screen memories. And I really do agree with Gene that we need to have trained professionals doing this type of work, and that an amateur could, you know, have the best of intentions, but could accidentally really create some further problems, I think, psychologically for some of these folks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would wonder, is there any documented case of people being injured by being hypnotized by people like Bud Hopkins or David Jacobs?
How do you know? I mean, we have this one claim by a woman in New Zealand who claims she was mentally abused by David Jacobs, but that's, of course, controversial and still subject to dispute. But then if a person is made to believe something that didn't happen, they think that, you know what, E.T. came down here, took your sperm, raped you, whatever, and they're creating hybrid beings. Maybe you even have hybrid children. You know, that's a pretty nasty state of affairs if it's true. And if you believe something that's false, it doesn't help you resolve the conflict within you.
Okay, I would accept that. And I wonder if I could polemicize for a moment in support of my kind of a priori turning away from the ET hypothesis, to say, if we ask what makes more sense to explain highly sexualized memories, is it experiments by extraterrestrial beings who we don't know why they should be so interested in our sexual equipment, or memories that relate to that come from within us, because we're going to be really interested in our own sexual equipment? It would seem to me the second alternative makes a heck of a lot more sense.
And then you're still, again, the acceptance. So, okay, so do you have a proposal here to offer about getting more professionals in here to understand what's going on? Because certainly, if someone is sexually abused, we want to find out who the offender is, a family member, or somebody who is not part of the family. Certainly, if this is happening from not just a psychological standpoint, but from a legal standpoint, we have to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, though there you get into other problems, which is what brought the whole sexual abuse memories idea into discredit in the 1990s, which is that people tended to forget that what is adequate historical evidence is not necessarily adequate legal evidence for putting somebody in jail.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a statute of limitations after a certain number of years. Even if you knew who did the offense, you can't do anything about it.
Right. And really, I mean, the law requires beyond reasonable doubt. History doesn't. History requires balance of probability.
Okay, so going back through history, are we saying then the ancient traditions were also involving cases of some sort of sexual abuse?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you also have...
That may have been what spooked out my referee.
You know, it could be a combination of causal elements as well. The whole idea of sleep paralysis relating to the medieval incubi and succubi, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, if a constellation of life history events come together in a certain way, possibly that might be an equation that then triggers what appears to be to the witness or to the experiencer, it appears to be an abduction scenario. Perhaps you need a combination of events in a person's life coming together subconsciously to then create, you know, and manifest an abduction type experience in their present day scenario. I personally had what I consider to be an encounter experience when I was just turned seven back in Bellevue, Washington. And this is a fully conscious experience with, again, your number three. There possibly was a fourth being involved in this, but I was followed around my neighborhood, basically three different houses on my street, three in the morning by these entities that were about the same size as me. And I don't recall any sort of abduction experience. And I don't think I was gone long enough to really fall into that particular missing time category. But I don't recall any sort of physical contact. I don't recall any sort of trauma involving some sort of experimentation or being taken anywhere. So there are cases that kind of fall through the cracks in this particular subject matter where people have up close and personal experiences but don't appear to have interacted in a physical way with these screen images, aliens, however you want to call them. So how do you reconcile these cases along with, obviously, what we've been talking about?
I don't. All I can say is that this is something that's outside the explanatory power of my model, and I'd have to hear more details about your experience, and I would still be guessing. I would think probably my first questions to you would be, is there any correlation with how these memories arose? What did the experience mean to you? Questions of that sort, which actually I would be completely fascinated hearing your answer to.
Well, again, it was not something I was looking for. I had not been exposed to the mass media or popular culture. I hadn't seen science fiction movies. I had not been exposed, at least to my knowledge now, looking back. I was kind of sheltered from TV and movies and that sort of thing until I was about 8 or 9. It was a fully conscious experience. I remembered it vividly the next day. My whole family heard about it. Of course, I was sleepwalking and had a nightmare, but I knew better. I had a physical. I actually tried to run out my kitchen door and forgot that my dad had put the screen on and banged into the door. So I knew I was awake. So if I was having some sort of experience that was sleepwalking, I was really deep out, if you want to put it that way, which I don't think I was. But, you know, there are other cases like this. I had a very interesting case that occurred to me. I had the sensation of invisible energies entering my room. This is only one or two times I've ever had this feeling, and it was very vivid in my I just felt it physically that there was something invisible in my room and a group of them. And I found out 2 weeks later that my neighbor had a group, literally my neighbor, I mean, not even 40 yards away, at about the same time period, had a group of these, you know, your typical alien grays come through the wall like water, she described them, and they seemed to be fixated on her son who was in his crib in a crib next to her bed, and she was very frightened of this and banished them out of the room. Now, this is the wife of the widow of Artie Lang, a very, you know, super on the ball, very smart, astute lady. And
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about this in more detail in our next segment. We have David Halperin. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
I'm Roger Rao at Midas Resources. If you are going through a financial roller coaster because of your investment in stocks, bonds, and other paper assets, perhaps you're ready for a change. You have an opportunity to change your financial security. Get the stability and peace of mind you deserve by investing in precious metals. Gold and silver have been a form of wealth protection for over 5,000 years all over the world. If you have seen your hard-earned money lose value because of inflation, sliding dollar, etc., it's time you stop the bleeding. The answer to your problems is simple. Gold and silver. Silver will protect your assets and your purchasing power, physical possession of precious metals, IRA rollover, etc. Call me, Roger Rao, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Take action today when we are still accepting paper dollars for gold and silver. Ready for a change? Call Roger Rao at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Again, it's 1-800-686-2237, extension 178.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists to help clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, the teen UFO years. And I won't try to imitate the late Fred Foy, who was the announcer of the Lone Ranger, and also the Dick Cavett Show, as a matter of fact. We have David Halperin, our co-host Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast, and you were telling us something, Chris, that I want you to continue, please.
Well, the point I'm bringing up is here's me having what I consider, I do consider myself to be very aware, and you know, I journal, I write everything down. I've got, you know, pretty good sense of my environment, and to have a very unusual experience then, you know, occur the same night, I find out 2 weeks later that my neighbor had something even more manifest than I did occur to her, a super, what I would call, credible witness. And she had a very special son, too, and that's why she thought that they were interested in him. But the reason why I bring this up is simple. Not all encounter cases have this sexual element to them. They don't have physical interaction between the victim, witness, and in these screen images or physical beings, if you will.
Yeah.
Is there possibly, and this is my question, is there possibly a way to figure out, to differentiate between the causal elements in this? I think possibly someone that has manifested a constellation of psychological events. I'm going with your theory here. Let's say witnesses manifest a certain constellation of psychological factors through their history and through their lives, and if they do have sexual abuse, possibly those are the cases that then turn into the cases where you have some sort of physical examination and some sort of sexual element involved. What do you think of that?
And what I'm hearing you saying is that there is some phenomenon that lies beyond that, that in people with this constellation will appear as sexual experimentation, and in others will take other and perhaps more benign forms. Am I hearing you right?
Exactly. So if you do have some sort of sexual trauma in your life, whether it be inadvertent or otherwise, probably the most intense ones are when you have familial incestuous type sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Would be probably the most traumatic. But possibly that's what we're seeing here, is we're seeing a compiling of psychological factors that, if it includes some sort of sexual trauma, then it manifests itself in a more sexually oriented scenario within the abduction framework.
That makes perfect sense to me. It's beyond the range of my flashlight.
Gene, can we get this guy one of their million candle power spotlights so we can really shine it on it?
Yeah. We're a low budget show, Chris. I don't think we're in a position to shine that kind of light. We try.
Thinking here is that I ought to pursue this a little bit, that it seems to me that if we perceive, and this again is my polemic, okay, that if we perceive the essential UFO mystery as being this sort of thing, then I think we've got a good chance, I won't say of solving it, but of understanding it more in another 10 or 20 years, if we pursue this kind of line of inquiry.
Right. Of course, we're not talking about, we're not bringing into it supposed implants and the physicality of scars and other things that, you know, allegedly are related to this. I'm still uncertain in my mind that many of these cases are legitimate in terms of having supposed physical evidence, although there are some cases that are pretty hard to argue with, where abductees exhibit real physical signs of being traumatized. You mentioned the, you know, Barney Hill and the genital warts scenario. But I agree with you. I think that we need to be more out of the box with this. I think we need to bring in, as Gene said, more professional interest in this subject. We need funding. We need a way to create a scenario where we can do hard science in the abduction phenomenon. W.C. Levengood, who is a biophysicist at the Grass Lakes Biophysical Laboratory in Wisconsin, came up with an idea of putting hair into curlers and having abductees have these curlers in their hair and have ungerminated seeds in these curlers to study the effect of the experience scientifically, energetically on the actual ungerminated seeds. I think it's a brilliant idea, and we need more thinking like that to really, I think, ascertain scientifically what's going on, and at the same time look at it more deeply from the psychological level.
One thing that bothers me, which I should mention before we go on, David and Chris, is that, you know, I've suggested we got to have webcams in there, in the bedrooms of people being abducted to see what's going on, but when those webcams are there, either they don't work or nothing is seen. It never seems to happen. We can't capture a physical event, ever.
Well,
the darkness is in the soul. and that it's a psychological issue that makes perfect sense and doesn't in any way detract from the importance of the mystery.
Well, we have the Sherman Ranch case, the Skinwalker Ranch case, where they had one camera looking at another camera. They had an event triggering some of their gear when they went out to, and then one of the cameras went down, and they went out to check out that camera. All the wires had been ripped out. Yet when they looked at the image of the other camera that was filming that camera, there was no indication anything happened. So, and these are world-class scientists now doing this work. It's not just some, a webcam in a person's bedroom.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm suggesting is that physicality doesn't necessarily it's not predicated on actual, visual evidence sometimes. Things can occur in the blink of an eye, possibly, or things can occur with some sort of screen image that blocks the actual event itself.
Well, I'm going to ask another question, too, since we're talking about physical effects. What about the so-called electromagnetic effect, David, where someone in a car sees a UFO, and suddenly, and this, of course, is the classic image from the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the car stops working. When the UFO is in the vicinity, as soon as it leaves, the car powers up, everything's normal. How do we explain that?
Well, I guess, the standard skeptical explanation, isn't it, is that the witness is nervous, fumbles, that the engine dies the way sometimes my engine dies when I get nervous in traffic. And then once the experience is over, the witness's serenity returns. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily will work, but at least that's the one that I've heard.
It's like Lyle Watson's book, The Secret Life of Inanimate Objects, where cars start up by themselves and drive around being chased by cops and make corners and speed up and slow down. I'm not sure if that works as a blanket explanation for... I'm sure it does for some cases, but... We have too many cases where trained observers have had this happen, military people, for instance, obviously law enforcement, scientists, an air traffic controller I talked to had a similar thing happen. He swore he never touched the ignition. All he did was slow down, take his foot off the gas, and look, and boom, the car died. And then as soon as the thing left, he hadn't moved except his head, boom, the car started up on its own. So maybe the human mind has the ability to manifest electrical effects like this, but I haven't seen any empirical evidence that would support that.
Yeah.
Here's another kind of effect. It's called a commercial. David Halperin's our guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from some many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You can download a version that is mostly full-featured. Try it out, and if you like it, it's just $34.95 for Graphic Converter from LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com for my favorite Graphic Converter.
Skip the long lines and high prices at the florist, because right now at ProFlowers.com, you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 4444. Unlike overpriced flowers at the florist, which sit in the cooler for days, our flowers are sent fresh cut from the fields and are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. Just visit ProFlowers.com today to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and free chocolates for only $29.99. Order now and pick the delivery date you want. It's guaranteed. But hurry, because Valentine's Day is this Monday, and our special offer ends this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are 3 for $30 and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for strike anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
And our co-host, by the way, is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. We return for the last two segments, our visit with David Halperin, author of Journal of a UFO Investigator, a novel about the teenage UFO years. Before we go on, David, in writing this book, I'm going to do this because I'm an egomaniac, because you have to be an egomaniac to go on the radio every week and do a show of any kind. So if I pick up this book and go through, and I've read a lot of it, fascinating novel, nearly 275, 300 pages. Do I find myself represented here or not?
You do not. You are not in the book, Gene.
Oh, well, he was really looking forward to being, like, you know, maybe even a composite of characters or something, but...
Yeah.
Okay, that's an important point here. If we look at this book, will we recognize personalities in the UFO field represented here?
No, you will not. Because I chose to write the book not about my actual experience as a teenage UFO investigator, but starting off from certain... There are two things that are autobiographical in it. One is the family background. The protagonist of the book, like me, spent his adolescence with a dying mother. Okay, and that background, which occurs certainly, it's evident at the beginning of the book, that is something I know from my own adolescence. The other thing that's autobiographical is a bit more complex. That I remember some of the fantasies, some of the dreams even. I think they were dreams, although conceivably they could have been waking fantasies that I had in those years. And in the book, I ask the question, what would happen if these fantasies were set in motion? For example, I remember I had a dream, though it might have been a waking fantasy. I think it was a dream that I was in this big rambling old house, I think somewhere out in the country, attending a meeting of a scientific society of very serious teenagers interested in exploring the realms beyond conventional science, one of whom was a beautiful blonde girl in an evening dress. And I took that scene, and what if the narrator of the journal really was at a meeting of such a society? And what if there was a beautiful blonde, as she turns out to be, seductress and thief at the meeting? And what if she and Danny take a shine to each other? What if? And that's where the story goes. So that the real-life UFO investigators, I don't think, appear in it at all.
Gene, are you disappointed?
Ah.
He was convinced that he just had to have been in there somewhere, but maybe subconsciously he's in there.
I would be the villain.
You've manifested him subcoussciously in your writing. By the way,
the UFO investigator in this book, David, tell our listeners, does he really encounter any extraordinary events, or is it mostly about the people, not so much about the science fiction?
It's about the people. I mean, the book is essentially a coming-of-age story.
And one of the coolest covers I have ever seen on a book. I love the dust jacket cover. It's just, it's so striking. Did the publisher do that? You had a hand in that?
No, I had no hand at all. They presented it to me and told me this was my cover, whether I liked it or not.
They did a good one for you. It's excellent.
Yep.
As publishers do. And sometimes they do an awfully good job. This is an incredible cover. Incredibly distinctive. It's also a hardcover book, by the way. Listen to that. You know, breaking open on a hardcover book. We don't see
the word UFO on the cover. I love it.
Is there going to be like an Amazon Kindle version or an iBook version?
Well, there's already going to be an audio version. I don't know if it's available yet.
Who did the audio? You?
No. A person. I've seen the name, but it rings no bells for me. The audio is available from Blackstone, or will be available from Blackstone. And I think I may have mentioned that the book has been published in Spain under the title Diario de un Investigador de OVNIs, and it will be published also in Italian and German versions.
What about the movie rights?
Not yet sold.
We have to think who's going to play our protagonist, who's going to play young David Halperin. So what age group is this coming of age? Is this something like the mid-teens or so?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the story begins with the protagonist turning 13, and it ends when he's 17.
Yeah.
And it's essentially about him and the story that he needs to tell himself in order to cope with his real life.
The book, of course, is Journal of a UFO Investigator by David Halperin. And it's a lot different than what you might expect. Because this is the kind of story where even if UFOs aren't part of the picture, it would be a fascinating story.
Well, I'm sure it looks at motivations, and it looks at the development of critical thinking, I would imagine. I haven't had a chance to read the book yet, although I do plan on it. Of course, I'm traveling now, so it's been a little rough for me to do much besides work. But I can't wait to dive into it, especially now that I've been introduced to David and talked to him, and I'm really looking forward to it. But I think that this is a really interesting literary project in that so many people in this field are looking at the nuts and bolts and the theories and you know, they're bantering back and forth different hypotheses, and people tend to forget that it's real people that are out there developing themselves as they go about learning about themselves in life and how to investigate the mysterious and how to look at the things that they can't explain in their life. And I think this is a brilliant idea, and I can't wait to dive into it and really, really embrace it as a look at the motivations, if nothing else, of kids that are involved in this, especially back in the golden years, the glory years of this field.
Yes.
Now, one of the questions I'm going to ask, and I think this is where we frame it, we had this teen UFO movement in the 50s and 60s, and maybe to some part in the 70s. We don't see that happening in the 21st century? Is there maybe because teens are so much different today, or because UFOs don't hold that fascination anymore?
I don't think it's the latter. My sense is that UFOs have an enduring fascination. I mean, I remember it was actually when I was doing an email interview on UFOs several months ago, that when I was waiting for my correspondent to send me her question, I looked at CNN.com, and the top news story was a fireball seen in the sky somewhere over Kansas, which was being viewed by something like twice as many people as were viewing the second top story, which was one of Tiger Woods' mistresses getting arrested for drunk driving.
And usually that's really the top story.
Yes. And consistently, it seems to me, when there is a UFO story, or so on CNN.com, that is the one that people gravitate to. And I don't know if you all have seen that movie, The Fourth Kind, but when it came out in the at the end of 2009, it was one of the top grossing movies in this country, and then it fell off very quickly after the reviews started panning it, and I myself thought it was a very poor movie. But the theme of it, which is UFO abductions, is something that appeals deeply to people. So I don't think that UFOs have lost one bit of their power. Now, whether they still have the function for adolescents in difficult situations, such as I was in, that they did then, I don't know. I mean, I was intrigued when I heard Jerry Clark say that in your interview, that there don't seem to be that there doesn't seem to be that teen UFO scene anymore, and I don't have I can offer nothing more than the wildest guesses why not.
We have David Halperin. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors. Nuance offers Dragon speech recognition for a variety of platforms. Dragon Dictate for Mac. Dragon Naturally Speaking 11 for Windows. And Dragon Mobile Apps for BlackBerry, iPhone, and iPad. No matter how you compute, Dragon instantly converts what you say into text, helping you be more productive just by talking. Find out more at GetDragon.com. That's GetDragon.com. GetDragon.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all-natural, all-organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Thank you, Jim Mosley. Glad to have you aboard as a listener. A reminder, if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, the things you hear, the things you'd like to hear, please write us directly, news@thepowercast.com. That's news@thepowercast.com. I promise we read every email message we get. Now, David Halpern's joining us for the final session. The book is called Journal of a UFO Investigator, a novel, kind of a coming-of-age novel. I look forward to having this sold. Maybe as a TV movie would be the most appropriate, I wonder. But we'll have
I'd
to see.
Him.
He'll take anything. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the PowerCast. And as we look towards the UFO field in general, there has been ongoing movements of one type or another for some sort of disclosure, dating back from the 50s with Major Donald Kehoe. Today, various forms of requests for disclosure. The government knows something about UFOs. They must reveal it. But the UFO that you talk about, the government wouldn't even care about, would they?
I doubt it. I'm not sure how much they cared about UFOs of any sort.
Good answer.
So the people who are hoping for disclosure, they're whistling in the dark?
That would be my guess. E.J. Ruppelt ended his classic book, Only Time Will Tell. But, I mean, wasn't there some talk a few weeks ago that WikiLeaks was going to produce something about UFOs, and it turned out to be just a joke, that at most somebody used UFOs as a kind of metaphor? I seriously doubt that anything's going to turn up.
Yep, I agree with you there.
I could always predict, I think, having followed this for so many years, that even if UFOs are E.T., nothing will be disclosed.
Yeah.
Okay, but then that brings back the other question, too, about possible government interactions. You can say then that when people remember something happening near Roswell, New Mexico, it wasn't the crash of a UFO.
I mean, I found Carl Flock's book tremendously persuasive, that it was a top-secret espionage project, so naturally there was a cover-up.
In a situation like that, to be fair about it also, and I'm not taking a side here, if you have this top secret craft, the average military person wouldn't know. There'd be no need to know. They wouldn't have to know this. So they could see this happening, and maybe they say it's a flying saucer. And then the management comes down, the leadership, the commanders say, oh, no, this is a top secret thing. It has nothing to do with that. You got to retract the story, which is, of course, where the mystery starts. Then they say, oh, it was a balloon.
Yeah. If a flock is right, and I find them very persuasive, it was a balloon, but part of a not just an ordinary weather balloon. It was part of a balloon train used for taking radio equipment up to the edge of the stratosphere. I mean, it's an interesting question if you think about it. Like you remember the UFO that Thomas Mantell chased. Was that really a UFO? And if it was a skyhook balloon, which I think is the conventional explanation of it, in a sense it was a UFO because hardly anybody knew those things existed.
It was basically an unfortunate accident.
Yeah, but I mean that the object being chased was something that in fact was unidentified in terms of the knowledge that most people had.
So when we hear stories then, and in our previous week's episode, we had George Filer, Eastern UFO representative for MUFON. He's the Eastern investigator. He's got a publication called Filer's Files, where he collects UFO tales from around the world. Mm-hmm. And he talked of cases where he saw a UFO as a navigator for the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and that it was tracked on radar. So the question, of course, we ask, what did George Filer see?
Uh-huh.
Because that doesn't fit into the imagination, does it?
I don't think so, but I just don't know.
And, of course, he also talked about instances where they tried to shoot at the UFO and something may or may not have fired back.
Well, at least they didn't end up coming back to their base.
That is to say that some other airplane went after the UFO, they tried shooting at it, and somehow the plane disappeared.
Exactly.
It crashed somehow. Or like, the famous Philip, was it Philip Mantell? Thomas Mantell, who, I guess the official explanation now is that he was chasing Venus.
No, I think that was the first one. I don't think that ever made sense. I don't think Venus is ever visible in daylight. But I think the standard explanation was that it was a balloon it was called a skyhook balloon. I don't know, to tell you the truth, I don't know exactly what it did, but like so many projects in the immediate post-war era, it was kept tightly under wraps. So hardly anybody knew that these giant balloons existed. So naturally somebody would say, ooh, there's a weird thing in the sky. Let me go up and take a look. Since nobody knew that these, or hardly anybody knew that these skyhook balloons existed, naturally somebody seeing one would say, there's something weird up here that needs to be investigated, and go up after it. And in a sense, I mean, I guess it depends on how you define these things. It was an unidentified flying object, something that didn't fit into any of the categories that people knew of in those times.
Well, the original intention, if you follow what Edward Ruppelt said in his book, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, is that you did it that way because you're just saying, here's something flying around that we don't know, therefore it's unidentified.
Yeah.
Period. It doesn't have to be E.T.
Right. So would you call some sort of balloon that nobody knows exists, or hardly anybody knows exists, would you call that an unidentified flying object?
By that definition, of course you would. Except, of course, ultimately it becomes identified. It's only the 10 or 20% of cases we can't figure out that form the core of the so-called UFO mystery.
Yeah.
So at this point, having studied UFOs all these years, coming to the conclusions you do, where do you go from here? Promoting strictly the book?
Okay. I'm following Jung here. I think UFOs are a myth. And following Jung, I don't mean that to disparage them. I think myths are fantastically important. To borrow a phrase from Freud, I think they're the royal road into the human soul. And I think there's a limit to what you can do with myths if you write about them in analytic, academic prose. What I did in this novel, what I want to do in future fiction projects, because I think I'm going to be mostly writing fiction from now on, is exploring myth by retelling it. I mean, one of the people who read the book and wrote nice things on the back cover, Keith Donahue, called my novel a compelling reimagining of the myth of UFOs intertwined with the deepest longing of a teenage boy, which I would understand as a twining together of the overarchingness, that which is archetypal, and that which is individual. And I imagine myself writing novels that do that kind of thing, not necessarily with UFOs, but bringing us together with our myths.
Would you then create a fantasy novel or a science fiction novel for that reason?
I might.
What else can you say?
I'm working now off and on. I've told you about this man Cardozo, the Jewish mystic of the 17th century. I'm working off and on about a novel in which a woman psychiatrist in the year 2000 has a patient who begins to recover fragment memories and dream fragments of Cardozo. Because I want to explore what is it like if a 17th century mystic and would-be messiah carries his mythic world into the beginning of the 21st century and manages to persuade a skeptical 21st century woman to go along with it. What happens to these people?
We can't wait to see it. We're just about out of time. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of the things that you do?
Well, if you're in L.A., that's where you'll find me right now. But I do have a website. It's called OurStrangePlanet.com. It is a strange planet. It's Our Strange Planet. And you can find my entire database of my many years in the San Luis Valley there, and also find information on how to get signed copies of my books.
Chris O'Brien, our co-host, David Halperin, after all these years, very nice to talk to you again and listen to your experiences and knowledge. Thanks for joining us this week on the PowerCast.
Thank you so much, Gene.
PowerCast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.